Praise the Lord. This is August the 14th, 2011. We're turning to Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. What do you do with your, how do you think? With your brain, with your mind. You do some thinking with your mind, don't you? If you catch yourself thinking about anything contrary to this list, then you ain't thinking right. And guess what's going to happen if you start thinking wrong? You're going to start feeling wrong. Then next thing you know, your feelings, your emotions are going to make you talk wrong. And then you're going to start listening to what you're saying because you're agreeing with what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And the next thing you know, you're going to start acting out what you're thinking, acting out what you're feeling, acting out what you're saying. And guess what? If it ain't pure, if it ain't just, it ain't a good report, if it ain't honest, if it isn't right, you better not be doing it. The devil has set you up with your thinker. He set you up for defeat. He set you up for destruction. He's put your feet on the wrong path, and it will bring you to no good. Because you won't have any good end result doing anything outside of these things right here. That's the way it works. This is just the way it is. And the church has heard it and preached it and preached it, and people just can't seem to get it. You better start thinking right, and it'll make you do right. It starts with the thinking. It starts with a thought. Kenneth Hagin used to say, you cannot keep a bird from flying through your hair. But you can sure keep it from making a nest there. You can sure do something about that. I let thoughts go in my mind, and I have a regulator, a thought regulator. Guess what it is? The Word of God. And if the Word of God says, it's out. That thought don't even have a second in my brain. I don't entertain it one ounce. If it doesn't associate and line up with the Word of God, I know. Reject that thought. I don't let it live there. I don't employ it. I don't enjoy it. I don't entertain it. I don't pet it. I don't coax it. I don't encourage it. I get it out of there because it'll destroy me if I don't. And I know that. Your thoughts are so powerful against you. Your words are powerful against you. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, and the devil knows it. And if he can get that thought, get those emotions turning, you know, they don't like you. They think you're this, and they think you're that. Biggest lie from the pit of hell, is that pure? Is that lovely? Is that a good report? No, that's not a good report. I'm telling you, whether it's true or not, doesn't make any difference. Nobody might like me. There might not be a soul in this world that likes me, but you think I'm going to let that get in my thoughts and mess up my life and mess up my emotions and mess up the way I live? No way. They got the problem, not me. If they don't like me, if they think I'm doing something wrong, that's their problem. They better take it up with God because God is my judge. Let no man judge you, the Word says. I don't let nobody judge me. You're in trouble if you start judging this girl because God is watching over my life. You better not put a thought to my life. You better not put a finger to my mouth. You better not put your mouth to me because God is watching. Glory. Same thing goes for you. Amen. Same thing goes for you. I don't judge nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't go there. I don't tread in another man's patch. I don't tread in another man's plow. I don't get over in their plow. They can do their own plow, and I got plenty to plow myself. I keep my row as straight as I know how to. If you start thinking about other people and start talking about other people and judging other people, you're going to get off of course fast because you'll start doing this. Your plow won't go straight because you can't think two thoughts at one time. You try to think in two thoughts at one time. You just try it. You can't. God wants you to be single-minded. You're called to be minded after Him. Oh, glory to God. This is just the truth. I'm just telling you what I know works. This is the way you live. If you want victory, you want peace, the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. He wants to keep your heart and mind. But let me go back to the beginning of that verse. I come straight out of bed. Rejoice. Rejoice. You know what I've learned to do? I've learned to obey God. I've learned to obey God. I've learned to obey God, not my flesh. I've learned to obey God, not my emotions. I've learned to obey God, not my feelings. I've learned to obey God, what everybody else says. I've learned to obey God. You can talk about me, put stuff in the newspaper about me, or whatever you want to do. I've learned to obey God. I've learned to obey God. Rejoice in the Lord. Glad. You have a right to get mad, but you don't go there because you know the joy of the Lord is your strength. I've learned how to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Negative balance. Negative balance in your checking account. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. You're going to show up in this situation. Hallelujah. Isn't that the way it works? You start getting worried and fearful and jerky and all worried. Oh, God ain't going to take care of me. Let me tell you what. God takes care of this girl. God takes care of me. And I know He does. You know why I know He does? Because I'm so special. No, because His Word says He will. His Word decrees it. His Word guarantees it. That's my guarantee. I'm in covenant with God. He cannot break covenant. He cannot lie. And if I stand on His Word and I'm walking in His ways, He will take care of me. He is obligated to me. He's obligated to take care of me. So I don't take a thought. I don't take a care. I cast the care on Him. I know how to cast every burden upon Him, for He sustains me. I rejoice in the Lord. That's the assignment the church has failed to walk in. We just get all down and out about stuff. Worried and nervous and shaky and jerky. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but He gave me power. Power to rejoice. Power to have peace. Power to live in victory. Power to walk in victory in every situation. Boy, there's been times, I mean, that was stretched. Stretched. But there was always a knowing. A knowing. God cannot lie. That's my foundation. He can't lie. Let every man be a liar. Let God be, God is true. Let every man be a liar. You're going to be the liar, devil. You're going to be the liar, neighbor. You're going to be the liar one. Let me tell you who's going to come out victory. The one who believes God. That's who victory. That's his victory. This is your victory. This is your victory. I'm going to show you some things about victory here. The Lord permit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your victory is in your hands. Your life is in your hands. God did not tie strings on my arms and strings on my legs and make me a Pinocchio and make me a puppet and tell me every move to make. Now, I'm led by the Spirit of God, but at any moment yesterday when I was sharing about being led by the Spirit of God, I could have said, nah, I don't think so, God. Wasn't a good idea. I don't like that. I don't like that place. It's dirty. No, there's a spirit of obedience that you develop. You get an ear to hear the word of God. You set in your heart that God is true. You decree that in your heart. God is true. And everything else is not true. God is true. If it's contrary to God, you know who to believe. You just know who to believe. Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. That's His report I'm going to believe. But that's something you and I have to do. We have to set it in our hearts. We're going to believe God over everything else. That's a spiritual force within you. That's your faith working. God gave every man a measure of faith, and you're the responsible one with what you do with it. You don't have strings on your arms. Your faith is going to decide what you do and what you believe. Your faith will decide that. There's a scripture I want to go to, if I can find it here. I've written so many scriptures down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 51, verse 1. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. We want to look at the stock market. We want to look at the world money trade system. We want to look at the world's economy. We want to look at all kinds of other situations in our lives. That's what we look at. We look at what our neighbors do. We look at our families doing. We look at all of these other things. But God says, look unto the rock from whence you are hewn. Look to where the pit that you came from. You know the old saying, an apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. You're supposed to act like Abraham. In fact, you were hewn out of Abraham. Our salvation came because of a faithful man named Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's where it all began. That's where that was the rock that started the whole process of bringing Jesus Christ on the earth as the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us. Do you know that you're supposed to be the Word of flesh dwelling among men now? Do you know that? We're supposed to have the Word of God so much in us that we can say to mountains, we can speak to fig trees just like Jesus did. We can raise the dead just like Jesus did. And he said, greater works that I did shall you do also, because I've gone to the Father. And so I'm backing up everything you say and everything you do in my name. That's the way, that's where it all began right here though. So if he says to look to this rock, let's look at this rock. Look at the rock for a moment with me. Isaiah 51 says, hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. A lot of people believe they're seeking God. A lot of people believe. And they probably really think they are seeking God. But if they're not looking to the root of their salvation, the rock, where they've started, what are you made of? What are you really made of? What's your real, what are you all about? Let's look at what we're supposed to be about and show you what God will give you. The second verse says, look unto Abraham, your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Okay, if I've been hewed out of that rock, that means I'm blessed. I'm promised to be blessed. I'm promised to be increased. But I've got to look to my father Abraham and to Sarah that bare me. I have to keep my eyes on the right things. Think the right thoughts. Glory to God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. Abraham went up and out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now all that he had, I mean every animal, every child born to his servants, I'm talking lots of people. They take off because God called him to come out of the land of Ur. And it says, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Because God said, I increased him, right? This is where you look. You look to the rock. A lot of people have a problem with having money. They think there's something wrong with having money. Well, then they're not looking to the rock from whence they were hewed, are they? They're not looking at the pit from which you were digged. A lot of people have a poverty mentality. They don't realize God wants you blessed. God wants you rich. God wants you to have abundance. Jesus wants us to have abundance. Look at the character of Abraham. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was so great. Their substance was great. So that they could not dwell together. If you remember back when God told Abram, he said, leave your father's house. Don't take anybody with you. You come out. Well, Lot's his nephew, and he wanted to go with him. So he let him come. And because God knew this was going to happen, the land was not able to bear them for the huge herds. Their animals just never was barren, kept producing, healthy babies. I mean, you could relate to this. They just had so much because God blessed them. If you ever did anything in your life, you better seek for the blessing on your life. And whatever you got to do to cut to the chase to get the blessing, you better get it. Because we're in a time of economic crisis. The world does not have the blessing on it. The world don't have no blessing on it. God didn't bless the world. He blessed Abraham and his descendants. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. He said, I will write my word in your heart. I will write it in your mind. And you shall be to me, I will be to you a God, and you shall be to me a people. He told Abraham this was for an everlasting covenant that I'm making between you and me, the covenant between you and me and your seed after you as an everlasting covenant. God never meant for it to end at the cross. Jesus fulfilled the law, but he provided the covenant for eternity. The same covenant God cut with Abraham is still enforced through the blood of Jesus right now. The blessing is still available. But we look at the rock and we look at what Abraham did. We look at how Abraham lived before God. He was always sacrificing before the Lord. He was always mindful of whatever God told him to do. And this man didn't have Moses. This was way before Moses, 400 and some years before Moses, before the law was even given. But Abraham knew God. Abraham knew God. He believed God. He knew God. And his uttermost desire was to please God because he believed God. I've always said this, if you will believe God's word, you cannot pay God a higher tribute. You cannot pay God a higher honor of praise. I can sit here and praise and dance God all day before the Lord. But do you know one act of obedience trumps all that? One act of believing God's word and acting on the truth trumps it all. It gets God's attention. It gets God's attention. Because really what you're doing is saying, especially if you're in a rock and a hard place, and you decide, well, I could do this and make life a little easier for me. Or you get over here before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? I could do that. I could live bad. I could act bad. I could be ugly. And maybe things will work out and you'll have mercy. But I would rather believe you. I'd rather act and honor you with your word and believe your word and believe that you're going to honor what you said to me. And you know what? God is impressed with you when you do that. He's impressed. So impressed. You get God's attention. You get God's attention when you honor his word, when you put his word first in your life. So we're looking to the rock, right? That's what this is about. So the land wasn't able to bear them. And it says, and there was a strife. How many of you know strife is a killer? Strife is of the devil, sure as everything. And Abraham knew that. Strife is not good. It's like bad energy. Bad stuff happens when you're in strife. You open the door to bad things. Let me tell you why I know that. Because when you're in strife, for one thing, in James it says, where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. This wisdom doesn't come from above. It's devilish. It's deceitful, bad. It's bad energy, bad vibes. It's of the devil. It's from the underworld. It's from the underworld. You know, there's an underworld. There's a dark world around us of darkness. There is a power of the prince of the power of the air, the rulers, the darkness of this world. There is a place of dark domain where they rule and they live and they reign. And they're always looking for an avenue into your life to mess up your apple cart, to mess up your life. And strife is a killer. It's absolutely a doorway into for the devil. So if he can get you into strife, he's already got his foot in the door. And I'll guarantee you, if he can get in all the way and you act on all that anger, you act on all that strife, he will come in and destroy everything. How do you get away from that? How do you deal with that? Character. Character will change it. Character. Trust. Faith. Thinking on these things. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm telling you, it defeats the devil every time. This is what Abraham did. We're looking to the rock, right, from whence we were hewn. God blessed him. You would think somebody so blessed, people so blessed, so abundantly overwhelmingly blessed, would not be in strife. But this goes to show you, stuff doesn't make you happy. Stuff doesn't give you peace. Stuff just don't ever do it. But you know, godliness with contentment is great gain, the word says. So here they are with all this awesome, awesome abundance and wealth. And then strife came because there's a problem. Did you ever have a problem where money made you have problems? Ever have so much money that you got a problem because you got too much? Well, that's basically what happened here. They got so much, they got a problem now. Because the land is not able to feed all these animals. I would think that'd be a good problem to have. But no, Abram said unto Lot, go back to verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Now let me tell you the character here. Abram could have said, because remember, he's the boss, he's the top dog, he's the patriarch, right? He's just the nephew. He's the one who's got the leadership role. He's the father. He's the patriarch. You know, in those ancient days, that was a big deal. Abram, you know what he did? He goes to Lot. Let's get along. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to step back. I'm going to be humble here. And I'm going to let you decide. You look at this land. Look all around. You pick what you want. And whatever you give me, that's what I'll take. He didn't get up there and say, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to have this good land, and you're going to go where the scrappy land is. He didn't do that, did he? He could have. He could have done that. But he took the high road. Because you know why? Because he knew he was blessed. He knew that no matter what he did, he's going to still be blessed. He didn't know, he didn't worry that he wasn't going to be okay. He didn't have fear that if he didn't get the best land, that his animals were going to starve. He wasn't worried because he knew who put him there to begin with. God called him out. God sent him forward, and God blessed him abundantly. And because Lot was with him is why he was blessed. Lot wasn't blessed because he was the blessed of God. He was blessed because he was hooked up with Abraham. Lot was blessed because of his association with the one God blessed. It matters who you hang out with, too. It matters who you associate with. I can walk into a store, and I've seen it many, many times. I've walked into stores where there isn't a thing going on. Walked into an AT&T store, and the kids were just sitting in there hanging out. I said, ain't you got nothing to do in here? I like to see people work. Well, there ain't been a person in here. You're the first person that's been here all day. I'm not making it up. I bet you there was 10 people walked in there after I got in there. I bring the blessing. The blessing covers me because I'm connected to the blessing. Jesus is the blessing. Glory to God. So I don't work nervous, shaky, and jerky in my life. I don't worry about not having enough. I don't worry because he is the God who is more than enough. I have El Shaddai living in me. I have the blessing in my life. It's about time we take a hold of it and stop walking in fear of an unbelief, of lack and doubt. Look to the rock from which you were hewed. Abraham knew who blessed him. And he wasn't worried about those animals not having any food. So he says, he knew what Lot would do. He knew Lot would pick the choicest land. He knew Lot didn't have faith like he had. He knew Lot was in fear and would probably have no choice but to pick the best. Because after he separated from him, the blessing wasn't going to work in his life like it did. It seems funny to me the next time we read about Lot, he's in a city, and what happened to his herds? What happened to his animals? What happened to his family? And he had all the best land. Abraham, step back. You choose. You pick. You think he was worried about his animals going hungry? He knew the blessing was in his life. He knew the blessing was going to take care of him. He wasn't worried at all. Because see, he was looking to the true rock. From which he was hewed. He was looking to God Almighty. He's his blessing. See, Jesus is my blessing. Jesus is my life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I have to keep my eyes on him. I start looking at this and start looking at that. Then I get out of faith and I get out of love and I get out of unbelief. I get into unbelief. And then I start acting all kinds of ugly things. Is this not good preaching? It's the truth. It's just the truth. I'm just sharing the truth. But it's like, how do you get people to start walking in the blessing? And I'll tell you, if you could start rejoicing, no matter what it looks like and what it feels like, and you start thinking on these things, and you put down your old stinky, filthy thinking, and you put down your old flesh and put your, you got to kill your flesh. You know, I used to take a knife out and say, I'm going to crucify you one way or the other. You are not going to rule my life anymore. I'm crucifying this old greedy spirit. I'm crucifying this old jealous spirit. I'm crucifying this old judgmental spirit. I'm crucifying this old angry spirit. I'm crucifying this old selfish flesh. I'm going to crucify you. You're not going to rule my life. I'm going to walk in the things of God. Because your flesh will never agree with God. Never. Never, 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 never. Just come to understand that. And it dies a hard death. It still wants to raise up and be in control. And you got to raise up in your spirit, man. You got to get your mind renewed to the Word of God. And you got to know who you are. And you got to know what God says you are. You got to know what God says you can have. You got to know without a shadow of a doubt. You got to know. And nobody else can know for you. You just got to know for you. I started loving me. And so, you know, look, my life is in my hands. I used to think, God won't let this happen to me. Oh, God ain't got nothing to do with letting anything happen to you. God ain't got nothing to do with it. You are in control of your life. More than you realize. That's why he said he had to send his word to deliver us from our destructions. We are bent on destruction. Because for one thing, we don't think right. That's where it all starts. Look to the rock from whence you were hewed. So verse 9 says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt, take the left hand. If thou wilt go, I will go right. And if thou depart to the right hand, I'll go left. I'm giving you the first choice. And you know what Lot did? Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even to the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And thou, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. He picked the best land. It was the most fertile land. It was the most beautiful land. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. And all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give thee and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. That's just so good. That is just so good. Now I got to take you someplace else. Genesis, while we're in Genesis, look at Genesis 26, 12. Genesis 26, 12. Y'all know the blessing followed the seed. The blessing followed the seed of Abraham. And when you become aware of the fact that you are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, you'll recognize you got the blessing if you want it in your life also. Isaac sowed in that land. Isaac was Abraham's son. The blessing. The seed of Abraham. Isaac. And Isaac did something very unusual. He sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. I think it's just pretty amazing how he sowed one seed, got 100-fold return on that seed that he sowed. Now there's a scripture in Genesis. And it's in, I believe it's in Genesis, I guess we should look at that. I didn't write that one down. But it would be good to look at it. You know, when God created the heaven and the earth and all the things that he created in chapter 1, he said, let everything bear after its own kind. Didn't he say that? Everything is to bear fruit after its own kind. The seed is in the fruit. The seed is in the what everything he created it with a genetic makeup code of its own. Before we knew anything about genetics, God was talking about genetics in Genesis. And he said everything is going to bear after its own kind because everything has a genetic code, we know now. So if you breed a certain kind of horse or a certain kind of cow or a certain kind of goat or a certain kind of tree, or if you have a seed, it's going to produce after that identical seed. It'll look just like it. A grape will produce more grapes because the seed is where the genetic code is. It's in the seed. What do you do with a seed? You sow a seed, don't you? You sow a seed. Do you know you have to sow a seed in faith, even in the natural? But how come it's easy to sow corn and you have no doubt you're going to get a crop of corn? Or why is it you go to the store and you tell the guy at the store, feed store, or the seed store, and you say, I used to go to the seed store and I'd buy a pound of this and a pound of that or half a pound of beans, and I had no doubt. I didn't even have to try to work up faith to believe. Yeah, because you could see it. You knew that it was going to produce after its own kind. And you expected a 100-fold return on that one seed. I didn't plant one bean seed that I expected to get one more bean back. I knew when I planted that one bean, I was going to get a bunch of beans out of that one bean. I didn't buy hundreds and hundreds of beans. I knew that one bean was going to produce whatever I needed, a multitude of beans. Sometimes you get more yield than other times, right? I always had a green thumb. I could plant anything and make it grow. I don't know if that was just a blessing on my life. Blessing of Abraham on my life, probably. So I used to sow. I used to raise all kinds of gardens. I was raised on a farm. I come from a long line of farmers. But the thing that I want to show you is that it's in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Actually, let's go back to verse 20. Adam was blessed. That blessing came on down. Because God spoke to Adam and Eve and said, be blessed, multiply, and replenish the earth, right? And he gave man the garden to sow and to take care of and to till. And we know that the man was driven out and said, the ground now is cursed for your sake, which is not a good thing, because of sin. But the blessing of multiplication did not go away. The blessing of multiplication is still there. Because God said in verse 22, I'm going to read starting with verse 20. Follow this because this is powerful revelation. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. This is after the flood waters subsided and they came off the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the altar, on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living creature as I have done. Now God said, I'm not going to curse the ground. The ground is where things produce, right? Then he says to him, while the earth remaineth, as far as I know, the earth is still remaining out here. There's still a remaining earth. It hasn't vanished away yet. It's going too soon, but it hasn't yet. God says, as long as this earth is here, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. So I have a guarantee out of the mouth of God, and he's not taking it back, that every time I sow a seed, there's going to be a harvest. There is something called seed time. Maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe a month. Harvest time. Seed time. Harvest time. Seed time. Well, this time it's taking a little longer. That seed takes a little longer to germinate. That seed takes a little longer to grow and takes a little longer for it to take root and takes a little longer for it to sprout. And that ground could be a little bit tough and not enough fertilizer, enough water. It takes a little longer for that seed because, for one thing, I sowed it in the wrong place. You can sow in the wrong place. Do you know that? But I'm telling you, that's a spiritual law, straight out of heaven, seed time, harvest time. It's just the way it is. And people want to sow a seed. By golly, they're mad at God if they don't get instant results. By golly, it must not work. Just must not be real. Must not be no such thing as harvest time. Must not be no such, I sowed, and God ain't doing what he said he would do. It ain't God doing anything. God set in motion seed time, harvest time. And if you don't sow in seed time, you're not going to harvest in harvest time. If you don't recognize the seasons of sowing, and if you don't recognize the seasons of reaping, you're going to miss out. Abraham saw an opportunity to reap because of his character. He sowed into Lot. He said, "You choose." He sowed a blessing into that man's life because he could have trumped him and said, "This is where I'm going to go." I believe if Sodom and Gomorrah would have probably been overturned because of this righteous man's presence, the blessing would have followed him right into Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd chosen there. But see, he didn't choose. He said, "You choose. You choose." I'm telling you, the power of the blessing and the power of recognizing seed time and recognizing harvest time is so important to all believers, all believers. I'll show you some other things here. Proverbs 10:22. I didn't get on anybody's website and get any of these scriptures. I haven't studied any of these from off anybody else. You know what? I've learned that if I cannot believe it from myself, I can't regurgitate somebody else's message. I have to know this is real. I have to know this is true before I can preach it. I don't care what it is. I just cannot read somebody's book and then preach it. I have to live it. I have to know it's real. Because when you know it's real and you know it works and you know it's the truth, then you can minister to it in a level, in a way that you couldn't if you didn't experience it yourself. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can read anybody's book and I can tell you what it says. But when you live it and you've experienced it, then you know it is a fact. It works. Then you can share it with confidence and faith and authority. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. How many times have I said that? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There is a blessing. There is a blessing in knowing God. Let's go to Proverbs 13 since we're here. Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich and hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. That's something to think about. That's a salah. Go now to Mark chapter 4. Well, let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." And we're going to fast forward here, and we're now talking about Jesus. We're going to listen to what Jesus. We're walking now. Let's go now from Abraham, Genesis, and let's go to Mark chapter 4, and let's sit under Jesus' ministry just for a minute. Let's just listen to Jesus, who has revelation of everything I just shared, right? Jesus knows everything I just shared. He knows about seed time and harvest. He knows about the blessing of Abraham that increased and makes rich, and he knows all about, Jesus is the Word. He knows the mysteries of the kingdom. And when he first showed up, the first thing he did, he began to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Hand, right now. The kingdom of heaven is, in other words, readily accessible. When something's at a hand, it means, I got sandwiches in that refrigerator. Well, you know it's at hand. It's not something you got to walk 10 miles to go get. It's right there. Just go get it. That's what it means when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is right here. It's accessible. That's why when I come into this place or into my apartment or wherever I am and I want to operate in the things of the kingdom, I want the kingdom of heaven open. I know that's where the blessing is. I know that's where the provision is. I know that everything I'll ever need in this life is in heaven. Did you know that? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. You need something good in your life, it comes down from God. It's not in the, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and he blessed man in the garden. But the man got into sin. We have to go back to the rock from which we were hewn, and it's by faith. The just shall live by faith. Four times it says that. The just shall live by his faith. Living life is got to be a life of faith. If you live by your wits and your emotions and you live by your own ideas and you live by your own interventions, you're not going to have a very happy life. You might survive, but we're talking about life. And the kingdom of heaven, he said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I used to read and say, God, I need to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What kind of mysteries are you talking about? He's talking about how to receive from God everything you'll ever need, spirit, soul, and body. Because we need that. He knows we got to have access to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the door. If any man comes to me, he'll come in and out and find pasture. Did he not say that? That's how you get peace. That's how you get joy. That's how you get anything you need. It's through the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Let's go back to this. I want to stay right here on this because this is so important. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. In other words, it's hidden from them. It's like a riddle. And then he goes on to say, and he said unto them, verse 13, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Now, when he made that statement right there, I'm going to point this out. It's so important to get this. How then is a question. If you don't understand this, this is a foundational principle. Seed time, harvest time. Foundational principle. If you don't get this, you ain't going to get nothing else. If you can't understand the most basic principle, how do you think you're going to find out all about how to count, how to do this and do that and things of the kingdom of God? If you don't operate in the basic things, we want to bypass some basic things and get, you know, you cannot get trigonometry till you learn algebra. And you better learn how to do 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2 before you move into anything. There's basis of revelation, mystery, understanding. You got to get before you move on into anything else revelation-wise. Do you understand that? It's natural. That's in the natural world and in the spiritual world. You have to get this. You have to get this. If you don't get this parable, how are you going to know any parable, any mystery of the kingdom? But it's given to you to know. So this is what he's telling you. The sower went forth to sow. Jesus said, and before I go into any more, Jesus was the seed that God sowed in the earth. He was the Son of God, the firstborn among many brethren. God sowed his only, he became poor that you could be rich, it says in Philippians. God gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is where life is all the, it's the source of all life is eternal life. We just think this life is it. This is not it. It's your dynamo. The eternal life living in you is where the source of all life should generate out of your life. We've got it backwards. We think we've got to have it and then we'll get it. We got to know we got it in us and then we'll produce it. Life comes from within you. Your life is to be a productive piece of this earth. You're here to be a blessing. If you didn't realize this yet, you are called to be a blessing. That's your number one assignment in this earth, is to be a seed sown that you can be a blessing. Jesus was sown so he could produce many brethren. I'm a part of that seed that he sowed. I'm a production, a reaper. I am part of the harvest of God through the seed that Jesus was. Jesus was the seed of Abraham. And he said, many brethren, many brethren. I'm the first. He was the firstborn from the dead. He had a glorified body. He told him, he said, touch me, for you don't, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. We're getting ready to have that kind of body. We're getting ready to be just like that. Our resurrection is coming. Our resurrection, it came. when Jesus died and when he was raised from the dead, that's when it's when our flesh was supposed to die. That's when our old way of life was supposed to die. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it remains alone. But if it falls into the ground and it dies, guess what it'll do? It'll produce 100-fold. That's what you want that seed to do. You don't want that seed to stay in there, one little old seed in the ground. Because if it doesn't turn into a plant, if it doesn't rot, and if it doesn't break open and change form, if it doesn't die as a seed, it's not going to produce a harvest. As long as you are hanging on to yourself and your ways and your wants and your wishes, your desires, and your old sinful flesh is in control, you haven't died yet. And you can't be a blessing God called you to be until you die. You've got to bury yourself in the resurrection. You have to consider yourself dead in Christ. Crucify your flesh. Put it under. And then let God resurrect you to newness of life. So you can be a blessing. And it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You'll never rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice until that happens. You've got to kill that flesh. It's got to die a death. Got to die. That's why it says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He died for me. I die unto him. Boy, it dies a hard death. But the reason is, Jesus said, if you don't know this parable, if you can't get this revelation, it's going to be hard for you to get any revelation. But you got to get this revelation. He said, a sower went forth to sow the word. The word is the word of God. The word of God. How do I express this, Lord? How do I share the word of God? What is the word of God? Ever think about that? What's the word? The word, the way, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. What is the word? A sower went forth to sow the word. What's the word? The word represents many words. Many, 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 many words are the word. Think of eternity. The word. I can tell you there's a word. They're the word for everything in your life. There is a the word for everything. There's a the word for sickness and disease. There is the word on poverty. There is the word on lack. There is the word on emotions. There is the word. There's a word on every single thing. The sower went forth to sow the word. I could share a word to you on every situation in life. Take you to Jesus. He's got a word for you. He's got a word that will cover and straighten out every problem. But you got to receive it. You've got to receive it. We got to receive it. Just like the ground has to receive. Ever try to plant something and the ground spitting that seed back out at you? I never had any ground I've ever sown anything unless it was never tilled up yet. Then I couldn't even get it in there. You till it up. You know, fallow ground doesn't take seed. But you till it up, you soften it up, and you plant that seed. But you don't come and uncover it again, looking to see if it's working. It's not working. I don't see a blade yet. You wait on harvest time. And I'm telling you something, if you don't get a seed in the ground, you ain't going to have no harvest time. People want harvest and they ain't never sowed anything to have a harvest of. If you, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the law of sowing and reaping. That's the law of seed time and harvest. And I try to keep as much seed in the ground in many different grounds that I can find. I sow into this ministry. I sow into that ministry. This church is always blessing somebody. We're a blessing. That's what we were called to be. Because I know if I don't sow, I can't reap. It just doesn't happen. This is the foundation of all mysteries right here. What I'm sharing today, the foundation of everything you'll ever want from God. Your peace, your joy, everything. It's in you have the revelation of seed time and harvest. The sower soweth the word. And you don't have to ask God, am I supposed to sow, God? I'm going to tell you something. It operates regardless. It operates no matter what. It happens because it's the way it is set up. God said it in Genesis. As long as the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest time. So he says, I'm going to take you to this verse that I'm trying to get to. In verse 18, He gives you all these different examples of ground, different types of ground, different types of hearts. In verse 18, it says, "And they, and these are they which are sown among thorns, as and such as hear the word." Whatever the word is they heard, whether it be on healing, whether it be on money, prosperity, the blessing, peace of mind, joy. I don't care what the word was sown in their heart. It says the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And the word becometh unfruitful. Now, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Then the cares and the anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Distractions of the age. That is where the good fight of faith comes in. The good fight of faith is when you begin to realize, I can work this word. I can walk in this. This is seed time and harvest word right here. And you don't have to be afraid of giving anymore. It takes away all the fear of giving, the fear of being gracious, the fear of being a giver, the fear of being a blessing, the fear of having not having enough if you give it all away. The fear of, it takes away all the fear of not being blessed. It just takes it off. Does it not? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does it not just whew, take off all the pressure? When you learn not to be distracted with the anxieties and the fears of this world, when you learn not to be distracted and get your eyes off what the word says about the word being sown, if you get your eyes off of what the word has said about seed time and harvest, yeah, you're gonna start getting nervous, shaky, and jerky. You know, I gave all that money away. I wonder if it'll work. I wonder if I'm going to get a blessing. I wonder if I'm going to be blessed. You know, I better make sure I just give 10% and that's it. I always give more than 10%. My tithe is not to the penny. I've never tithed to the penny. Because I cannot give God. Whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. Galatians 6. This is a fact. This is just a fact. This is the word. I'm giving you the word today. Jesus said the sower went forth to sow the word. I'm sowing the word today. I'm a sower. And I'm sowing the word today. This is the word on blessing. This is the word on abundance. This is the word on prosperity. This is not the only word, but this is a part of the word, the revelation of it. 6 verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, there's seed time and harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I do what Jesus said. In Beatitudes, give to him that asketh of you, and turn thou not away. If someone takes you to the law, give him to sue you for your coat, give him your cloak also. If they ask you to go with you a mile, go with them 2 miles. Whatever they ask you to do, just do it. I'm not afraid of giving. I'm not afraid of lack. Because I know my blessing is always my blessing. I'm a blessed. I walk in the blessing. I am blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. And everywhere the soles of my feet shall tread, I possess the land. Do you know how powerful that is? To walk in that revelation, glory to God. That's being God-minded. That's being Christ-minded. He became poor that you could be made rich. Did you know that? Now he's back in heaven with all the glory. And anything you ask in my name, I will give it you. Anything. Anything. You mean anything, God? Yes, anything. Anything. 5 more minutes. So I know God's not mocked. Whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. The way it is. Just the way it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why you see why you can rejoice if you believe everything I'm sharing with you. If you really believed everything I'm saying, not rejoice at. What would be hard to rejoice? Even the situation of the economy of the way it is. Because we're not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because the blessing cannot fail. The blessing cannot fail. Obedience is a key. There first be a willing mind. That's the whole key to this whole message. First, a willing mind, a willing heart. Heart. Personally, if you want to be the same way we are today, keep giving, operate in the kingdom blessing, and step up, we're going to have different results. Seed time, harvest time. This is just an awesome message for me to share. I had a lot of things this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless this message today. I close with it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name.